you know, all that hard work goes out the window. They just shut it down. They don't give you access to your stuff.
Hey, podcast listener, you're about to discover insider tips, tricks, and secrets to making more sales and converting more prospects into customers with email marketing. For more information about the Email Marketing Podcast or the Autoresponder Guy, go to dropdeadcopy.com/podcast. Hey everybody, it's John McIntyre here, the Autoresponder Guy, and it's time for episode 22 of the Email Marketing Podcast, where we talk about the top tips, tricks, and secrets for making more sales and growing your revenue with email marketing. Today, I'll be talking to Dan Dayette about a bunch of email deliverability stuff. Now, email deliverability is out of how many emails you send actually make it to the inbox, because out of any given batch of emails that you send, some are going to get blocked due to spam, some are going to get blocked because the email inbox is full. There's a variety of reasons. Now, there are some very specific tactics and strategies that you can apply to increase your email deliverability score, which will increase your open rate and, in the end, your conversion rate. So it's very important stuff. One thing that Dan talks about today, which I think is great, is how to get past the new feature in Gmail where there's a promotions tab. So how do you get your email autoresponder emails, which are promotions, let's be honest, how do you get those emails into the inbox so that someone actually reads them? Because I don't use the tab feature myself, but everyone I speak to who does almost never checks their promotions tab. So if your emails are landing in the promotions tab, they're not getting read. Now, we'll also talk about why Aweber, Infusionsoft, MailChimp are all very risky options for, you know, as an email autoresponder provider. Because if you do something wrong, and often you won't know that you've done something wrong, they'll just shut down your account. And often, unless you're a very big long-term customer, they'll just take all your leads. They won't give them back. So imagine that. What would it feel like? What would it do for your business if all that just vanished one day? So we're going to talk about why that's a problem and how you can cover the downside and prevent that problem from happening. And finally, we'll talk about how to set up an email server for yourself. That's a private email server. So instead of using a company like Aweber or Infusionsoft, you would have your own server. You wouldn't be paying some company a monthly fee to rent their server. So that would mean that you could have emails sent from your website.com. To get the show notes for this episode of the Email Marketing Podcast, go to dropdeadcopy.com/EP22. Also, real quickly, the McIntyre Method, my four-week video training program for how to write an autoresponder, is open right now. I don't open it very often. The last time it was open was 2 or 3 months ago, and the next time I'll open it will be probably next year. So if you want to get in, you have 36 hours. Go to www.mcintyremethod.com. There's basically homework assignments, 4 weeks of videos, spend 2 to 3 hours a week, and at the end of the 4 weeks, you will have an autoresponder for your business, or you'll have your money back. So that's McIntyreMethod.com. Now, the Email Marketing Podcast has another 5-star review. This one is from Canada, of all places. It's from Etienne. And the headline is, love it. Etienne's review, I hope I'm saying that right, Etienne. Etienne's review says, I've been in the email game since 2007. John's podcast is the real deal. To the point, it's packed with killer info you can apply right away. And each episode makes me want to write killer email copy. If my friends were into email marketing, I'd recommend John's podcast to all of them. Thanks for the review, Etienne. Etienne's actually been sending me emails about another program called SendRich, which looks like it's shaping up to be a great little email program. That's from Chuck Mullaney, who I interviewed last week. Okay, so before we get into the interview, I want to talk about something that's kind of funny really quickly. It's about how some people send me emails and they tell me that the podcast and my daily email tips aren't very actionable. It's kind of just loose, soft information, and they want some actionable information, they tell me. And then often on the same day, or maybe sometimes a couple of days later, I'll get an email from someone who says, John, I love your podcast. I love your daily email tips. I've learned so much, and I've applied what you said in my own sequence. And I just think it's so funny that two different types of people can have a completely different experience, the complete opposite experience of the same thing. And the big difference, I think, is that the people who are saying, who are coming to me and saying, John, I've learned so much and I'm applying these things and it's really helped me, is these are the people who hear a little thing, like that they should go and do research, that they should use empathy, that they should tell stories, and they just go and execute on it. They don't need me to tell them step 1, step 2, step 3, step 4, step 5. They just get out there in the ring and do it. So I just wanted to bring this up because, you know, if you're in that position where you kind of feel like you need more information or you need a really blow-by-blow account of how to do this, you don't. You might feel like it, but you don't at the end of the day. What you need to do, you need to sit down, start telling stories, start trying the stuff that I'm talking about on this podcast. It's hard. It'll be hard the first time. It'll be hard the second time, but the only way to get better is to get in there and do it, okay? And the people who I've noticed that, you know, the people in my life who are the most successful are the people who just, as Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook says, they move fast and break shit. It's not about being perfect. It's not about getting the greatest plan or anything like that. It's about being the best executor that you can be, okay? So that's a little bit of a pep talk this week. But anyway, it's just something funny and something to keep in mind while you're listening. Don't feel like you need to listen to all of them because you probably aren't. I don't really think you do. You need to find a few things that you can apply and then you need to go on away and apply them. I'd be much happier if you listened to one or two or three podcasts, got two or three actionable ideas, went away and spent the next 3 months or maybe the next few weeks and applied them, and then came back to me and said, John, here's what happens when I apply what I learned from the podcast. That is so much more worthwhile, so much more meaningful to you and to me than to say, well, I've listened to all of them, okay? Now let's go get into this podcast. Let's go talk to Dan Dayette. It's John McIntyre here, the autoresponder guy. I'm here with Dan Dayette, a rockstar internet and email marketer. Dan's taught email marketing to college students. He's wrote countless newsletters and emails. And plus, he's done something really interesting where he's built custom email service. So rather than using AWeber and different things like that, you would send, from what I understand, you would send the email from your domain, your exact server, which is what we're going to talk about today because it's actually really important. So these days, Dan specializes in email deliverability. That's where the email servers come into this. So Dan, how are you going today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Cool. Now, let's get started and tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and, you know, who is Dan Dayette?
Well, I'm not sure how far I should probably go back, but I guess, I spent several years in the call center industry.
Okay.
And I used to work for, you know, AT&T, Hewlett Packard, all those kind of places. And, about 2004, I started working for the Internet Marketing Center. Now, after 2008, I taught coaching at the Internet Marketing Center for 4 years. My cousin and I, I started a consulting firm and I did that for a little while. And then just recently, my cousin and I had a client that basically was having some email marketing issues. And so I brought somebody from who used to work for the Internet Marketing Center on board and we built a custom email server. And the results that we got were so out of this world unbelievable that, I couldn't help but brag to some of the people that I knew. And, some of the people that I knew started spreading it around that, you know, that they knew this guy that was doing these things like getting, 47 to 52% open rates, on 200,000 email addresses. And, obviously, word spread pretty quickly. And the next thing you knew, I was, putting together systems for some pretty well-known, internet marketers, working with, some pretty interesting people. And even just recently, I got a message back from Rich Sheffern asking, how I was getting those results and what I was doing and everything. So it's just kind of spread virally and it's just kind of, I haven't told anybody. And it was the weirdest thing. I call it a bit of a God thing, but, going through all these different, things, Brighton College, they had asked me to teach a social media class, maybe 6 months ago. Yep. And I guess they found somebody else for it. They didn't need me, and which is fine because I didn't really want a job anyway. But, and I had turned that down. And then they came back and they said, well, can you just teach the email marketing one? It's only going to be for a week. And that was the weirdest thing because you can only imagine having to try and figure out how to speak on, one topic for 4.5 to 5 hours a day.
Yeah.
4 days in a row. And it's like, I thought for sure, man, I'm going to run out of things to say, what can you really say in that kind of period of time? But believe me, the space got filled awful quick.
Wow. Okay.
So, You know, I mean, because number one, there was a lot of Q&A. Number two, you know, that was the first class in the world, I think, that ever got to see. Like these kids walked away having seen Infusionsoft with 400,000 email addresses in it. They got to see AWeber, you know, in full gear. They got to see iContact. We, you know, and we went through the whole process of building a MailChimp account. MailChimp, I mean. And then, you know, and for the cat's meow, I showed them what a custom email server looks like and what kind of results you can get. And I believe sincerely in my heart that those kids were, I keep saying kids, I mean 20, 30 somethings, were enabled to literally be able to do, or sorry, I should say to support anybody's email marketing efforts. But anyway, so, you know, I started writing a book on it recently called Maximum Opens. And, that should be ready, you know, hopefully by October or so.
Okay.
But, it's going to be, the neat thing is there's nothing else like it on Amazon. You can't find a book on it. You know, deliverability is such a critical thing, and it's a voodoo science. It's kind of like SEO was in 1998, if you remember, when, you know, everybody was like, you know, everybody knew it was important to be number one in the search engines, but nobody knew how. And everybody was guessing. Some people were striking it rich and guessing right. Some people weren't guessing right. And, you know, the gurus were, you know, well, we didn't call them yet that yet, but we had people all over the place saying, you know, hey, look what I did, but nobody really knew why it worked the way it did. Today, we have a lot much better understanding, but we still don't have the full view, obviously, because they hide things from us. But
right, okay. Okay, so that's a cool little background. Let's talk about, like, I think there's going to be people listening to this and they're thinking, like, what the hell is email deliverability and why does it even matter? So let's talk about that. You know, what is it and why is it important?
Well, deliverability is obviously hitting the inbox and actually skipping the spam box. And I guess until and even recently, obviously, we've got this whole, you know, Gmail's got the promotions tab and the, you know, social tab and the general inbox. And obviously, the goal is to get to the general inbox. Now, the reason it's important, I mean, you know, with the advent of social media, email kind of took a backseat, right? I mean, it wasn't the newest kid on the block anymore. And for a while, everybody was, you know, all going gung ho over, you know, email, or sorry, I should say social. And, you know, people were actually starting to talk about, you know, is email going to die? And, you know, and I always said this, would you ever send the receipts from your Amazon purchases to a Facebook email address? Would you?
Of course not.
Exactly. And you know what? People wouldn't do that. So the thing is that, I mean, not only is there a trust issue there, but I mean, on top of that, I mean, it's not really your email address. And anyway, make a long story short, deliverability. I mean, the bottom line is that, you know, right now we have two things we can see in every single email marketing system out there. Doesn't matter if you're on AWeber, iContact, GetResponse, you know, MailChimp or whatever. You can see who opened that email. And that number isn't accurate because some, you know, Blackberries and this and that don't track. They don't execute the JavaScript to track or execute the HTML code to actually track the opens. And then we can see clicks, and that's a little bit more accurate than opens. But again, we've got these two metrics, you know, opens and clicks. And beyond opens and clicks, we actually don't know if our message hit the inbox or not.
Okay.
So, as you can probably understand, I mean, if you're going to be an email marketer, you have to know whether your message is actually being read and reached and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And, you know, it's pretty scary to think of, you know, you're putting all this effort in and not reaching people. But the truth is that with, you know, the alternatives of hosting your herd anywhere else, email is one of the best places. So point is that, obviously, if you're hosting your customer list somewhere, I mean, obviously, the more eyeballs that you can get, the better sales you're going to get, the higher, you know, conversions you're going to get, the more, you know, what do they call it? Interaction. You know, I mean, the whole point is to reach your message to those people. And, you know, we obviously need to do that. So, I mean, the book I'm working on is going to be called MaximumOpenRates.com.
Okay.
And the whole idea behind that, of course, which, I mean, that, you know, domain and website aren't finished yet. But the point of that is that obviously it's, you know, to reach the inbox, So
okay. So with deliverability, just to kind of summarize that a bit, is that so if you send an email, when you send an email with Aweber or Infusionsoft or MailChimp, what happens is you're sending it via their service. So when it comes in, it'll say, you know, from, so my email address is john@dropdeadcopy.com. And it will say it's from john@dropdeadcopy.com via, you know, Aweber.com or, you know, an Aweber server. But the problem with deliverability is that if you get someone like a, you know, one of these gurus who has 200,000 people on their list who goes and spams people or sends an email to 200,000 people and tons of the marketers spam, that can then flag that emails are, that Aweber servers that are sending the emails are, you know, blacklisted, they're kind of dangerous, they're spammy. So then when I go and send an email with Aweber servers, my email might get flagged as spam also, or it just might not arrive at all. That's the whole deliverability issue, right? And it depends on different services used, you know, Aweber, Infusionsoft, you know, MailChimp, different things like that. So why it's so important is because if you know, you can basically have other people and other people's businesses screw the whole thing up for, you know, for you, because they're spamming and you don't even have to be spamming to be flagged as spam, which is the interesting part.
That's right. And, you know, the craziest thing is like with things like Infusionsoft, you look at, you're about to send a message and you, by default, before you even say hello, you have a spam score of 1.0 because your unsubscribe link has, you know, infusionsoft.com in it, which is a gray listed website. So can you imagine? I mean, you haven't even said anything yet and you're already at 1.0 and you haven't done anything wrong. It's not your fault or anything, but it happens to be that a whole bunch of other people are using that to spam people. So you get the guff for it. And now you've got a 1.0 score before you even say hi. You know, it doesn't seem fair to me. And the thing is that, I mean, we could go on forever and ever and ever, but the bottom line is that the biggest, most scariest thing about self-hosted versus hosted is that, I mean, here's what happened to and why I even got into this in the first place. I had a client with 428,000 email addresses on Aweber, and his list got deleted by Aweber. They actually closed the account and said, hey, you know, you had, you know, a slightly too high spam score rating this week. You know, you went to 4% instead of 1%, and you've, you know, got a few too many complaints this week, so we're shutting your account down. And, you know, he'd been with them for 4 years. So he contacts them and customer service, of course, won't do anything. He finally goes all the way to the CEO, and the CEO realizes their mistake and reactivates his account.
Yeah.
However, it's too late. He's spooked the horse, and now Jim was looking for different ways to solve the problem. So what we decided to do, or after he talked to me and we consulted and figured out a plan, we realized that the smartest thing to do would be to build our own system so that that never happens again. Because it doesn't matter who you're with, if you've, you know, make a mistake, or if for whatever reason people just don't like what you said that week, they can choose to delete you.
Yep.
And all the blood, sweat, and tears, all those 3 o'clock in the morning sales letters, those, you know, 1 million coffees to keep your eyes bugged on to the screen for hours on end to get that traffic to, you know, subscribe to your newsletter. And, you know, all that hard work goes out the window.
Aweber can take the list and then they don't give it back. Is that what can happen?
A policy violation. They shut it down and, you know, I mean, they just shut it down. They don't give you access to your stuff. Damn. And so, you know, the bottom line is that if they do that to you, I mean, who backs up their list every day? I certainly wouldn't. I mean, you know, half the time you don't even think you'd violate the policies. I mean, Jim has a sermon membership website. I mean, you know, 99% of his content is really just check out this week's sermons, you know, and, you know, I mean, like it's the most harmless content on earth. It's, you know, it's just, you know, literally, you know, going over and over again on the things that, you know, that these messages that pastors have written in the past.
Yeah.
So make a long story short, though, I mean, to tie it all up, I mean, you know, there's a, what do they call that? There's a big fear that if you screw up or if something goes wrong, heck, I mean, even if their business went out of business one day and you weren't paying attention, I mean, you know, you could potentially lose that list.
Right. Okay.
And so, I mean, you know, I guess the end of the day, I mean, that's one of the biggest fears or scary parts. The reason why you'd want to do that is that, or you'd want to, one of the biggest reasons, like, we've been building this system we're going to eventually launch called Own My List. And that's the purpose of it, is that you would own your own list. Like, even if you screwed up royally, at least you still own your own list. You know, I mean, it'd be just like AWeber, except you could choose whoever you want your deliverability provider to be.
Okay, cool. So you mentioned the Gmail promotions tab a few minutes ago. What's your take on that, given that all this talk about deliverability?
Well, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, you know, it's funny that in some ways it doesn't matter. For example, for those people using Outlook, you know, for those people using Mac Mail or, you know, the mail on your iPhone, I get everything in one box on my cell phone. But, you know, on the other side of things, you know, in the email itself, I've noticed myself, I don't actually click on the promotions tab that often because I don't have time.
Yep.
I mean, I'm focused on, you know, the human beings emailing me. And so the big key thing is, I mean, you know, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, John, but I'm about to say something that is, you know, ground shattering in 2013.
Okay.
And the truth is that people aren't buying products anymore. In 1920, you bought something because of what it could do for you. Like, you know, you buy a new knife because it can cut sharper than the best, or you buy a new car because it can travel farther with, you know, less fuel than, you know, or not complain as much as a horse might, you know, that kind of thing. But in 2013, we're not buying products and services anymore. Lots of things that solve our daily issues have already been created.
Yep.
So what we're buying instead are stories. And, you know, I mean, you look at, I don't know if you've heard of Tom's Shoes, have you?
No.
Blake Mikoski made these shoes that are, you know, Tom's Shoes, one for one.
Yeah. I heard one of them on the I Love Marketing podcast.
Yeah. You buy a pair of shoes and you're buying a pair for somebody else, you know? But I mean, it's been happening ever since, have you ever heard of Paul Hartunian?
No.
He was the famous man who sold the Brooklyn Bridge.
Okay.
He was watching the evening news and he saw them, you know, ripping up the wood path that was on the bridge. And he saw the phone number of the construction company doing the work on the news footage, phoned the company up and said, "What are you doing with it?" They said, "Well, we're throwing it away." So he literally, you know, went and said, no, give it to me. And so he collected it up and actually sold the Brooklyn Bridge. Which was, you know, this big joke because people always used to joke about, you know, somebody who'd sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You know, it's kind of one of those North American jokes because obviously you can't own a bridge.
Right.
It belongs to the city. Anyway, make a long story short, people buy stories more now than ever. I mean, you know, if Seth Godin said it himself when he said, you know, if cat food were sold to cats, they'd have mouse flavor, you know? But, you know, instead we got turkey and gravy. You think cats care about turkey and gravy? That's what you care about. But you know what? Cat food's not sold to cats. So
right.
The story has to be sold to the human. And the human wants to buy turkey and gravy.
Okay. So how does
Isn't
this
– fascinating?
Absolutely. I 100% agree. So how does this relate to the Gmail promotions tab?
Well, the point of the promotions tab thing is that what they're trying to do is they're trying to segment all the promotions, which, I mean, especially if you're on AWeber, get response, eye contact, all that, they can tell that you're a promotion. But if you're on your own server and you're telling stories and you're building relationship with your list and you're building that kind of a trust and, you know, all that kind of stuff, you don't show up in the promotions tab.
Hmm.
Especially if you do all your closing outside the email.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, you can set somebody up, you can pre-sell, but the moment you want to actually close the deal or mention the cost of the product or the fact that there even is a product for sale, you know, it's best to do that on your website or your blog or somewhere else.
Okay.
So that's what I mean by the whole stories angle is that, I mean, you know, you can't really build a relationship through a sales letter.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, you know, you were also talking about common deliverability problems and stuff like that. I mean, you know, having your own IP address is critical. I mean, compared to having, you know, when you're on AWeber, GetResponse, or any of those other providers, you have what I call the village bicycle, you know, which everybody gets to use. You know, whereas if you've got your own IP address, I mean, the only person who can screw up your email reputation is you.
Yep.
And that's And that's where the real deal is at, is that, that's one thing. I mean, the other thing is that one thing that frustrates me about these other service providers, and not all of them are like this, but some are, they'll actually, when somebody clicks the spam button, there's this thing called a feedback loop. And you can sign up at every single ISP, Gmail, Yahoo, Hotmail, and you can receive the spam complaints from your own list so that you can find out who keeps clicking the spam button. That's when you see the number of complaints in AWeber, that's what that is.
Okay.
And so here's the thing. The dumbest thing, if that's too harsh, I hope not. The dumbest thing that these systems do is they let you keep mailing people that have complained.
Okay.
Now, if you keep emailing somebody and you know they don't like what you're sending, where do you think your score is going to go? I mean, what quality, what reputation will your email marketing server have? So, I mean, it's not an AWeber user's fault that their list doesn't like them. I mean, our system, what it does is it automatically removes soft bounces after 3 soft bounces, hard bounces instantly, removes any complaint or automatically. Soft bounce could be your inbox is full and there's not enough room for a new email.
Okay.
So it's different than a user not found, and it's different than this email address doesn't exist. Which I mean, that's a totally different error. You should delete those.
Yep.
But if you've got somebody who's, their inbox is full, the server's busy and not responding right now, maybe they're having an issue or they've had an overload or whatever, those are soft bounces. The email may go through later, but it won't go right now. So what we do is, like I said, soft bounces after 3 soft bounces, hard bounces immediately, and the spam complainers get removed immediately, and unsubscribes obviously get removed immediately. Now, we never delete data because, in terms of marketing and all kinds of other things, data is important and useful.
Yep.
Even the people complaining may very well be customers that have bought something. So we still maybe want to email them if we want to email anybody who's bought the following product looking for testimonials. But when I say delete, they hop out of the newsletter list. So our hot list, which is people who've opened something in the last 90 days or people who've clicked on something in the last 90 days, excludes all the people who've complained, bounced hard or soft, like everybody's out of there. So, I'm sure you can see that's where the high durability is. We're mailing people who want to hear what we have.
Yep.
And we're mailing it from an IP address that's never been used for anything but our stuff. And we're not sending, sales junk to anybody, via email. It usually happens outside of the email.
Right. Okay. So the email server thing, how hard is it to build one of these, or how hard or how costly? I mean, can the average person who's just got a couple hundred or a couple thousand names, is it worth doing?
No. I think the threshold is probably 50,000. And at that point, it's actually a break-even cost, meaning the cost of AWeber will be exactly the same as the cost of a custom server. So, I mean, is everybody, should everybody run out and get a dedicated box? No. But you know what? For the price of what it's costing today to set one up, you know what? There's a humongous audience of people who aren't using one who should be. For example, it costs you $40 a month to get a dedicated virtual private server on Amazon.
Yep.
$40 a month. SendGrid, which is one of the biggest deliverability outsourcing companies out there, charges 10 cents per 1,000 emails. Now, if you do the math, it's cheaper to send via SendGrid and having an Amazon server set up than it is to own AWeber.
Yeah.
To have an AWeber account, I should say. Only difference is you own your own IP address. You own all the data, meaning all the analytics, all the opens, clicks, everything. And over time, the different subject lines and everything like that, you get to really see a profile of who likes what.
Yeah.
And there's even, services out there that you can use that will even tell you more about the people's email addresses you have.
Okay, so SendGrid is the sort of, you would install SendGrid on your own server, and that is how you would basically have your own email server. That's how you would do it.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit more complicated. I mean, that's what we charge to do for people. But basically what we do is we install, what do they call that? Ubuntu server, because it's free, on Amazon. And then from there, we install Art Breach, which is a one-time payment of, I think, $97 or something. But it's a sort of a front end that looks just like, what do they call that? A front end server that looks just like AWeber. And then after we've got that installed, you know, we've got a custom script that we've written that does all that, you know, list management stuff that I was telling you about, removing all the people that do those things, the soft bounces and hard bounces and all that. And that interfaces between the API of ArtBreach and SendGrid. So, I mean, we have a one-time thing, you know, a one-time setup fee that we charge to do that. And then everything's ready to go. You could do it without the software that we write, but you would have to manually remove your complainers and manually remove the bounces every once in a while, because not all those things are automated yet.
Okay.
But the point is, you could do it on the cheap by, you know, well, I mean, you could do those things if you wanted to. Wow. I think ArtBreach also has a self-hosted solution that they offer as well that doesn't require all the extras, but again, it doesn't come with the automation. And so, but anyway, make a long story short, no, it's not for everybody. I mean, for my smaller lists, I mean, MailChimp has a, what do they call it? A free, your account is free if you have less than 2,000 contacts, and your account is free, I think, if you mail less than 12,000 a month or something. You know, I mean, that package is pretty reasonable for somebody who's just getting started. But then, I mean, even if you're on that, and you know you don't have a dedicated IP address, there's still a lot you can do to sort of stay out of the spam box. I mean, you know, you can, what do they call it? Spam Assassin, which is an open source, I'll try not to get too nerdy on you, but it's called a Bayesian email filtering system, which basically just means that it monitors the words that you use and how you use them. You know, if you understand how that system works, then you can understand certain things like, if you're going to use the word free, you've got to make sure that you have enough volume of other words so that free isn't like, you know, you know, that free isn't 5% of the words you used. You know, but I mean, at the same time, that, you know, you've also got, decent content and, you know, you don't, but there's a bunch of trigger words beyond just free, right? So, I mean, if you learn about Spam Assassin, which is completely free, there's a whole bunch of guides on, I think it's, part of, what's that thing called, that comes free with Linux. I think it's part of the Apache server package, and they have a whole walkthrough on everything you can ever want to know about it. And of course, the other thing is that if you build a relationship with those people and they actually want to see you, they want you in their inbox. I mean, you can obviously train your list to, you know, train your list to actually whitelist you and, you know, add you to the contacts and all that other kind of stuff too, if you're on one of those, you know, shared hosts.
Okay, so there's some things you can do if you're still on AWeber or MailChimp. But then once you get to a certain level, it does make sense to switch to, you know, a custom setup. And that's the big takeaway. Go, man. All right, well, thanks for coming on. Before we go, where's the best place for people to go learn more about you? Or do you have a product? You said you've got this maximum open rates coming out soon. Where's the best place to get more info about Dan Dayet?
Well, right now, you know, I mean, answerswanted.com is my, what do they call it, main company website. You know, it's where I post the, you know, interesting blog posts and stuff like that. Right now, that's basically the only place that I've gotten. I do have an email list there that people can sign up to and subscribe to the mailing list. Right now, I haven't finished it yet. So it's just in the process. Like I said, everything's been going really crazy via word of mouth. And when it comes out, it's going to be pretty shocking because, like I said, with all the gurus that keep contacting me and saying, you know, what have you got? When I tell them that I've got a book on this, it's going to be pretty wild.
Okay, so that's cool. So people should go to your website, answerswanted.com, and then you get maximum open rates, which comes out in October. So I can have a link to those in the show notes on dropdeadcopy.com.
Rock and roll.
Cool, man. Thanks again. This has been really helpful.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. If you want to discover more insider tips, tricks, and secrets about driving sales with email marketing, sign up for daily email tips from the Autoresponder Guy. Go to dropdeadcopy.com/podcast. Sign up, confirm your email address, and I'll send you daily emails on how to improve your email marketing and make more sales via email. You'll find out why open rates don't matter and the 7-letter word that underlies all effective marketing and much more.